Good morning. 6:38 a.m. on June 5th, 2012. A lovely morning. I feel like I'm channeling Tony C. Smith here this morning. Hello, everybody, and welcome. Yeah, not quite. So today, let's see. Today is Tuesday. Yesterday, as I expected, was pretty screwed up. To begin with, I messed up my appointment for my therapy and arrived an hour early, which meant that I lost much more than the hour that it would take to go to that particular appointment. Pain in the butt. I lost a bit of time yesterday afternoon when the Ford dealership called to follow up on my service call, and the customer service representative was between laughing and taking copious notes. That was rather a long phone call. As I said to them, the big one for me was that I took the car in at 7 a.m. I had to call them at 12:30 to find out where it was. That was a problem. The fact that I then had to deal with $1,000 worth of car repair and losing my car overnight, that was another problem. But I could have overlooked that. That could have been handled much easier if I could have started dealing with it at 9 a.m. instead of at 2 p.m. So we had a long talk about all of the things that went wrong when I took the car in the other day. And really, the only thing that I really had to bitch about was the fact that it took so long for them to get to the car, and they didn't call me. I had to call them. It's not usual. Usually, they do a very good job. So what else? So one of my groups has been giggling for the last couple of days over this book called, and I'm probably going to screw it up, Midnight's Tale. And it's $2.99, 12,000 word short. It's a novelette, I think, technically. We use the Hugo definitions for length. $2.99 by a guy named George Berger. Now, George is somebody that I know from Kindle boards. Nice guy, very self-deprecating, has a lot of dry wit and a lot of funny things to say. He doesn't say much, but when he says something, it's usually worth it. So when Midnight's Tale came out, a lot of the people who were following him much more closely than I was started talking about it, and I went and grabbed a sample. Okay, now, here's the setup. I haven't finished it yet. Well, I've already left a 5-star review because it really is that good. Here's the setup. I suppose you'd call it a fable. It's not exactly speculative fiction. It's not exactly genre, so, you know, keep that in mind. But it's about a goat. Yes, goat. A young goat. And his adventures as he leaves the farm where he was raised as a kid and entered in 4-H, and his foray into the wider world of goatdom. And I've got to the point now where he's on his second farm and having to deal with vile children at a petting zoo. He's living with a llama named Larry with two L's, and the most obstreperous camel you've ever heard of named Harlan. And yes, for genre readers, I'm pretty sure that's a reference to another Harlan that is obstreperous, to say the least. So, yeah, grab a sample. There's a link in the sidebar on Talking on My Morning Walk for Midnight's Tale. It's kind of I'm enjoying the hell out of it, and I'm really glad it's short because I really need to be writing and not reading. But, yeah, very cool. I'm also listening to the Functional Nerds podcast for the first time. I met John Anilio at Balticon. He's a singer-songwriter. If I remember correctly, he's actually part of the Beatnik Turtles. I may be wrong on that. I'm not exactly sure. But he does a lot of nerdy songs and is very much chasing Jonathan Coulton's coattails in terms of his marketing is very much in the same humorous vein. I haven't heard a lot of his work. A little I've heard has been pretty cool. But I wanted to listen to Functional Nerds because while we were on a panel at Balticon, I said, well, how come you haven't had me on your panel? How come you haven't had me on your show? And he said, well, we'd love to, so send me an email. I think I'm going on, geez, I have to look. I think it's June 12th, and I have to figure out how that's going to work. Actually, I need to get that on my calendar because otherwise I'll lose it. That would not be good. I'm likely to do something rash, like take the kid to karate and forget I'm supposed to be home by 8 o'clock. At any rate, let's see, what else? What else? Oh, so Functional Nerds, I wanted to listen to it and see what it was like, so I had a feel for what kinds of things they talk about, what the format of the show is. Seems like a pretty straightforward kind of show, talking about this time with Marion Call about her music and with Liz Smith from DammitLiz.com about her job as a professional nerd wrangler. It's N with a nerd with an N, not some other pronunciation that I've probably garbled. At any rate, I did check the earbud so to make sure that it wasn't buzzing this morning before I started recording, so I'm going to hope and assume that it maintains that clear tone. I'm actually kind of surprised at how well it records. It's pretty shocking to me because I have this image of a really kind of fuzzy, unappealing sound that doesn't apparently come across once the file's been translated over to the computer, put into MP3, and then I listen to it on a regular speaker, not the tinny little headset that Jabra puts in the earbud. Oh. So I'm trying to walk fast because I want to get back. I want to get some writing done. I need to get some breakfast in me. I need to get people woke up. I'm running late today because I've been talking to some people on one of my Facebook groups about marketing. And there was an article, I want to say yesterday, it might have been from the day before, but it showed up in my feed reader yesterday, from Reuters about how ads and comments on Facebook don't work. Now, the problem with it, A, is it's a survey and somewhat suspect. B, yeah, really? No kidding? But it was actually tracking through the difficulties that Facebook is having with its initial what is it? IPO. Something offer. I'll think of it in the middle of the night and tell you. Anyway, their IPO. And how difficult it is to actually monetize that and turn it into something that they can sell. And what they're doing is they're trying to sell advertising. And advertising in microchannel marketing doesn't work. And despite the fact that Facebook has millions of people who come to the site every single day, most of them do what I do, apparently, which is just completely ignore the ads. They have no bearing, no impact. They have very little, I have very little awareness of them in my daily interactions. I know this is a sidebar over there that holds sponsored ads, and I pretty much ignore anything that appears in that sidebar. That's unfortunate because a lot of people have information at the top of that sidebar that's not sponsored. It's not part of a sponsored ad, but guilt by association, I tend to ignore things like rules for this group, a join this group button, also members, that kind of stuff. I don't even see it. I don't even see it. If it's on the right-hand side of the screen on Facebook, I don't pay any attention. So the Facebook group, it's obvious that the people who are doing this analysis for Reuters really don't understand how influence works. They don't understand the difference between micro and macro, micro and mass markets. And I made some flip comment about it and then got called to task to explain the comment. Well, 5,000 words later, well, not quite that many, but way too many more words about marketing than I should have spent. I find myself embroiled in this explication of how micro-marketing differs from mass marketing, how the difference reflects itself, how the difference is reflected in how people relate. And even had one guy step up and say, well, okay, what about this? It's not working for me because I'm not seeing the kinds of things that you mentioned. What am I doing wrong? And basically it was really nothing he was doing wrong. Part of it was a lack of longevity. So he hadn't had long enough time to establish a footprint. He had a lot of followers, but like many writers, he pursued big numbers by networking with other writers and ignored the reality that most of those writers had no more audience than he did. So when things got tweeted or promoted or pushed out from all these other writers, they didn't go into an audience pool. They went out to all the other writers who followed that writer because they wanted to have a network of writers as well. And so as a result, what happens is that you build this network of writers that don't have any readers, and I wrote about that in Polly Want a Cracker for M Writing. So it was interesting for me to go through and see, okay, does this work? If it doesn't work, can I identify factors that might contribute to why it's not working? The most obvious was that having a franchise, having a reader base that was really important, and having a presence in a media pool that was not the same pool I was trying to sell to. The reality of the podcast in terms of my ability to reach people who want to share my work, I can't really overstate that. All of you crazy people who listen to me every day are the tip of the iceberg. You're the most fervent of the most fervent fans. So you'll listen to me talk about just about anything almost any day of the week. The reality is that for those people who are trying to follow what I've dubbed the big frog, small pond strategy, which is to find a place where there is a small pool of audience and work very hard to assimilate that pool. One of the advantages that podcast has over other pools, like some of the writing communities where writers go to share their stories, is that A, writers go to share their stories, and most of the people who are there are other writers who are there to share their stories, who share their stories with other writers who are there, etc. And the number of readers who are actually there is somewhat limited, I think. Now, for the podcast community, oh, and then by trying to expand then to sell the text, there's a problem because they've already read it. And what you're doing in those communities is collecting people who want to read your stuff, not necessarily collecting people who want to talk about your stuff. So that's an issue. So in podcasting, going to podiobooks.com, I found people who were interested in the medium and who are willing to recommend me to their friends. Good morning. Also as a podcast in that medium. And we were there for, we were playing in the pool there for like 3 years before anything became available. In fact, the reason that I put it available for sale in print was that I got tired of answering the emails, where can I buy your stuff? So that made a big difference in terms of rollout, in terms of audience acceptance, in terms of marketing presence in terms of that strategy of 1,000 true fans, of finding people who like your work so much that they're willing to talk to other people about it, which is really the goal of social media. It's not to collect big numbers. That's not to say, you know, I'm not mechanically manipulating you, the audience. It's a question of having an authentic connection with the audience. This morning walk, I share stuff that I don't share with anybody else. Quite frequently, this is the only place that anybody will ever hear about it. Do I do it in order to foster sympathy and support? No, I do it because it's handy for me. It's handy for me to have a place to have my morning pages. It's handy for me to think about things that are important to me. A lot of people, because I have a public life as a creative, a lot of people want to know how they think and what I think about. And while it's difficult for me to accept it, yeah, that's actually the truth. The reality is it's actually the truth. So it's not an inauthentic connection. My social presence in the space is an authentic connection with an audience, with not just all of you who listen to my podcast, all the people who read my blog, all of the people who read my books, all of the people who leave reviews not only on iTunes as a podcast, but on Amazon for the stories. It's a very authentic connection. It works out very well. Because I don't, as a rule, talk to other writers. Well, a lot of the people that I connect with are other podcasters. They are other writers. The reality of that is that they connect with me not really because they expect me to retweet their stuff or to promote their work. They connect with me because they're fans. And in many cases, I'm fans of theirs. So I like their work. It's something that I enjoy. And because it's something I enjoy, I don't have any trouble recommending it. Like, for example, Midnight's Tale, that I started this podcast talking about. No, I don't have any connection with George Berger. I know George from Kindle Boards. I don't know him very well. But the story is really amusing. And the idea that some of the names that he's picked have special meaning. Certainly Easter eggs to those of us who participate in speculative fiction, who participate in the sort of echo chamber that is social media. It makes some really, really barbed comments that I suspect a lot of people won't get because they're not engaged in the community. A lot of the ways, like a lot of people don't understand why the deck person, the person who greeted Ishmael Huang in Doubleshare, was named Casey, and why the captain's name was Lachlan. They don't really quite get the connection with Space Casey at all. In fact, the ship was named Christiana Ellis is the obvious clue, but a lot of people won't know what that means. So, inside jokes, Easter eggs. Yeah, Midnight's Tale's got them. Like I said, I'm glad it's short because I need to put it down. I need to write my own stuff. I can't be reading this. So it's pretty funny. Anyway. Wow, I had a lot to say today. I'm almost back. I've made it all the way to the long eastward run. Turned north. Walking past the park. Which is good because I got to get back and start waking people up. Almost 7 o'clock. They need to get moving. They need to get out of the house because I got work to do. And with them there, it makes it that much more difficult. So there. What a gorgeous morning. It's going to be a hot day today. It was 93 here yesterday. It's probably going to be the same here today. It's already over 60. It's probably closing on 70 now. And a bit humid, which is unusual. And by a bit humid, I mean probably 15 or 20%, which is a wet day for the Front Range here in Greeley, Colorado. So I can cross the street without getting run over. And here I am at the back gate. So tomorrow's another day. I'll talk to you then.